Have you ever been taught a lesson from somebody or from a person, and the person that you learned the lesson from didn't even know they were teaching you a lesson? Like, for instance, you watch somebody model a godly character in their life, and you pick up on it, and you begin to model that godly trait in your own life. For me, my 7-year-old daughter Madison taught me something just the other day that I've never thought about the cross. She had just been reading her Bible, and she came up to me and just started asking me questions. And I was just amazed at what she was saying to me. And it was kind of one of those daddy moments where you say with great pride, "That's my daughter," right? You know, and all this. And she had no idea that she was teaching her daddy something. She was just trying to process in her mind what she was reading from her Bible. Well, our passage today that we read a little bit earlier is much the same, I think. This morning our title is called Being People of Impact. And in our passage we're going to meet a blind man named Bartimaeus, whom I believe unknowingly models for us traits for being people of impact. So I want to read through our passage again real quick and talk about a few things. It says this, And then they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man named Bartimaeus was sitting on the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, and he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling for you." And throwing off his cloak, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. I believe there's three traits for being a person of impact that we can learn from Bartimaeus. And the first one is this, that a person of impact has extreme faith. It says in verse 47 that when he, being Bartimaeus, heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." I want you to notice what he does. He doesn't casually call out to Jesus, but it says that he began to shout. Have you ever been in a situation where it's just kind of an everyday situation, ordinary day, kind of like this? We all come together on Sunday morning and worship, but on this regular ordinary day, something out of the ordinary happens, like boom. Yeah, some of you jump. See, something like that. Yeah, I think this is what's going on with Bartimaeus. It's just this ordinary day. People are going about the town, doing their business and stuff like this. And it was a very ordinary thing by this time for Jesus to walk through a town and a large crowd be following him. It wasn't really anything out of the ordinary. Okay, but all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here's this blind man sitting on the curb. And he just begins to shout at Jesus and just go after it. And so as I studied this, I began to ask myself, what is it that was in Bartimaeus that caused him to react in such a way? And this is what I believe. I believe that it was this extreme faith that had built up in him. You see, I don't think this is the first time that Bartimaeus had heard about Jesus. Remember, he was a blind man, and in those days, if you were blind or lame, you usually sat on the curb and you begged for food. That was kind of your, you know, way of life. He was a professional beggar, okay? But in that, he was around people. When he did this every day, he was always around people. And so he was hearing these stories of this Jesus of Nazareth who had healed the sick and raised the lame to walk, and he had restored the sight of the blind. And as he began to hear these stories, his faith began to grow. And the more and more he sat there and more he heard about Jesus, his faith would grow and grow until it became this extreme faith. So that on that day, when Jesus walked through Jericho on his way out of town, his extreme faith rose up in him and he began to act on it. It moved him to act. You see, this is what extreme faith does for us. Extreme faith says this, that Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus is who he says he is. You can look in Matthew chapter 26 and chapter 27, and you find Jesus in chapter 26 before the Sanhedrin, and he asked him, Are you the Christ? And Jesus says, I am. And then later on in chapter 27, he's before Pilate, and Pilate says, Are you the King of the Jews? And he says, I am. I am who you say I am. He's basically saying, I am who I say I am. You see, he is the Almighty, the all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent Son of God. He's our rock and our refuge. He's our strength and our strong tower. He's our Savior and our Lord, our Redeemer, our Deliverer, our Defender. He's our Provider and our Healer. He's our Friend. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the one that was, that is, and is to come. He's the one that went to the cross, died for our sins, rose again, ascended to the right hand of God, and He's the one that's victoriously coming back to take us home. He is who He says He is. And if we believe that this morning, then we also have to believe that you are who He says you are. You're a son. You're a daughter. You're a chosen one of the King. An ambassador. A warrior. You're an heir to the kingdom. You are a royal priesthood who by the finished work of Jesus on the cross, He has legally transferred all authority and power to us that we need to accomplish the things that He has destined for us to do. Listen, if we catch that revelation, that He is who He says He is, and therefore we are who He says we are, we can do anything. And by the way, extreme faith always leads to action. It always leads us to move to do something. And that's what we see happening in Bartimaeus. His extreme faith has now taken action. He begins to cry out to Jesus. And that leads us to the second trait. The second trait is this. A person of impact has unfazed tenacity. Verse 48 says, Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. You see, we find Bartimaeus with this unfazed tenacity about him. Tenacity means this, persistent determination. Bartimaeus was determined to see Jesus. Okay, notice I said see, because remember he's blind. So this is what's happening, I believe. That Bartimaeus has this faith that is built up in him that is so extreme by this point that he wholeheartedly believes that Jesus is who he says he is, and therefore Bartimaeus is who Jesus says he is, and therefore he can come before Jesus and ask whatever he wants and believe that it will happen, even him receiving his sight. You see, that's faith. Faith isn't, I sure hope this works. Jesus, can you heal me? Right? Faith is believing for something before it ever happens. And I believe that's where we find Bartimaeus. It's with this extreme faith that's now accompanied with this unfazed tenacity, this persistent determination that says, I will not quit until my faith becomes sight. Now I say unfazed tenacity because we find Bartimaeus unfazed by the voices that are around him. Now, I want to point out something that's kind of interesting, that I find kind of interesting here in our passage. We have this crowd that's following Jesus. And it says that many rebuked him. When Bartimaeus began to shout, it says many rebuked him. This is what I find so interesting, is that these many, these were the people who were following Christ, who were following Jesus. These were Christ followers. These were church people who were rebuking Bartimaeus. Rebuke means to angrily criticize. How many of you know that sometimes we as Christians make it really hard for people to find Jesus? Don't we? Because see, what we do is we genuinely follow Christ, but then we see somebody over here doing something that's way out of line, and what we begin to do is we begin to angrily criticize them for it. And so these people are standing over here saying, what you're doing to me right now, man, that's what I get from home. That's what I get at work. That's what I do to other people. And you're supposed to be a Christ follower? Why do I need to come to Christ when you and I are so much alike? This is what I've learned in life. Dogs bark, cats meow, and sinners sin. Right? It's in a dog's nature to bark. It's in a cat's nature to meow. And guess what? It's in the sinner's nature to sin. And so why are we as Christ followers, as sinners saved by grace, who by now we should have caught the concept that Jesus died for all mankind? Why are we going around angrily criticizing people who are only doing what their fallen nature tells them to do? Yeah, this really wasn't a part of my sermon this morning, but I just think it's a valuable truth for us to catch. That we really need to catch the concept of hating the sin but loving the sinner. That we don't have to agree with what they do, but it's our job to point them towards Jesus. I'm so thankful that Bartimaeus stood unfazed by all the voices around him. You see, he was determined to see Jesus. It didn't matter what the people said or did to him. He was focused on seeing Jesus. And this is what I believe, that to be people of impact, we need to know that rebukes will come, and unfortunately they may come from church people, from people who love us. But in those times, if we will make like Bartimaeus and allow our extreme faith to be accompanied by our unfazed tenacity, then we'll have one singular focus, and that will be to see Jesus. And then all the voices, they'll go away. That's being a person of impact. Here's the third thing. A person of impact has humble transparency. It says in verse 49 and 50, Jesus stopped and said, call him. And so they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. Now, because I'm a little weird like this, when I read the Bible, I like to try to picture in my head what's really going on, you know, and just how maybe a scene that I'm reading plays out. And so this is kind of what I think's going on, is you have Bartimaeus who is very emotional, very desperately shouting for Jesus, calling out to him, sitting on this curb, and then you have these people who are standing over him, right, saying, be quiet, shut up, Jesus don't want to have anything to do with you, just be quiet, and all of this. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh wait, I heard Jesus say something. What did he say? What? He's calling for the blind man? And then all of a sudden I picture their attitude changing a little bit, and they're like, hey buddy, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling for you. And I think in that moment, Bartimaeus' demeanor changes, right? And I think he's like, see, you were telling me to shut up, you were telling me that Jesus didn't want anything to do with me, but now he's calling for me. I got to go. I got to get to Jesus. Just point me in His direction, because I'm fixing to see Jesus. Do you see it? Do you see the contrast of how Bartimaeus was desperately crying out, and then the moment Jesus calls for him, all of a sudden he's so excited because he's going to go stand before Jesus. But this is what I want us to catch. I want us to notice what the very first thing Bartimaeus does after Jesus calls him out. It says in verse 50, throwing off his cloak. You see, by taking off his cloak, Bartimaeus is modeling humble transparency for us. See, the first thing he did after Jesus called him out was to say, "This is me, Jesus, sin and all. I stand before you transparent." You know, what an incredible trait to possess. What an incredible trait to model for us today. Because you see, transparency is a wonderfully humbling thing, but it's a very difficult thing for a lot of us to do, right? But I think being a person of impact, we've got to learn how to be humble when we come before God. We got to say, "God, this is where I'm weak. God, this is where I fail. This is an area that I really struggle with. So here I am, God. Sin and all, I'm coming before you transparent." So these three things, extreme faith, unfazed tenacity, and a humble transparency, are a mark of a person of impact. And so very quickly, I just want to give us two things that these traits, when we learn these things and develop these things in our life, two things that they do for us. The first thing is this: they empower us to ask for the impossible. It says in verse 51, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." You see, Jesus said, "What are you asking me to do?" And Bartimaeus says, "Oh, not much, just the impossible." And Jesus says, "Okay." Right? Misty and I have been on a journey of just seeking the face of God. And over the last 4 years, we have just really pressed into Him as best we know how. And God has kind of asked us that question. What are you asking me to do? And we've said, "God, would you just use our one life to build the kingdom? Would you make us passionate about your word and passionate about people?" And God said, "Okay." And so He put this call on our hearts that went something like this: "Y'all are going to plant a church and you're going to pastor it." And we said, "Dude, that's impossible." But you know what God has said to us? He said, "With me, all things are possible." And so we said, "Okay, God, we'll go and do it." So guess what Misty and I are going to be doing? Misty and I are in the stages right now of planting a church, and we're going to pastor it. And we believe that it's possible with God. What seems impossible with us is possible with God. And we've just started the process, and we're excited about where we're at, but we look forward to what God's going to do in that. So you can be praying for us in that area. But you see, these traits, these three things that we've talked about, they empower us to ask for the impossible. And then the second thing it does for us is this: that it moves us to follow Jesus more passionately. Verse 52 says, "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus along the road. Jesus said to Bartimaeus, "Go your way." And Bartimaeus said, "You are my way." And he began to follow him down the road. See, these traits will move us to follow Jesus more passionately. Aren't you glad that Bartimaeus didn't just sit on the curb and let Jesus pass him by? And let me point out, that this would be the last time Jesus walked through Jericho because he was on his way to the cross. If you keep reading, right after this is the triumphal entry, and then Jesus goes on to the cross. Would have been the last time for Bartimaeus to cry out. And I'm so thankful he did, because we wouldn't have this incredible story of Bartimaeus modeling these things for us if he had just sat there and let Jesus pass him by. But you know, I don't think that this encounter is the only time that Jesus had seen Bartimaeus. You know, I think there were several times where Jesus came through Jericho, and on his way out of town, he would kind of glance over at Bartimaeus, and he would say, "Man, I love him. My daddy created him. I'm fixing to go to the cross and lay down my life for him. I sure wish he'd cry out to me." You know, and then he would go on his way. But on that one day, when Bartimaeus did cry out, and right before it says Jesus turned to call him, I think right before he turned to call Bartimaeus out, I think when he heard Bartimaeus cry out, I think he looked to heaven and said, "Yes." He called out. He cried out to me. And then he turns around and he calls him. So here's my question this morning. Are you just sitting on the curb, just letting Jesus pass you by? Because this is what I believe. I believe that God is looking at you and He's saying, "Man, I love you. I created you. My son died for you. I sure wish you would cry out to me." And so this morning, I just want to wrap up with this, that if you have never asked Jesus Christ into your life, would you cry out this morning? And would you come and say, I need to know Jesus. I need Him to be my Lord and my Savior." But maybe there's some that just you just need to kind of reconnect, that this whole Christian life has just become a casual thing. And you need to really reconnect and allow God to build your faith more and more. Whatever it may be, if there's any prayer need at all, I just want to invite you to come and to the altar and just do business. I'm going to ask John just to come play a little bit, and then we'll sing a closing song and go. And we won't carry it out. But I just want to give you a chance to respond. So will you bow your heads with me? And will you just pray over these things just in your own heart, that am I really a person of impact, or am I just kind of sitting on the curb while Jesus passes me by? And if there's a decision that you need to make, will you just come? Lord God, we just stand before You now, humbly transparent. And God, we ask You to build our faith so that it would become extreme faith. And God, we ask that You would give us an unfazed tenacity to pursue You no matter what the voices around us say. Lord, I just pray that if there's one that doesn't know You, that they would come today. If there's any need at all, God, would You just draw people to come receive prayer. Lord, we love You. We're so thankful for the impact that You have in our lives. And may we leave this place being people of impact. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just